This is the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and I'm Cody Oakes. Today, Billy Brim will be sharing from her series entitled Holiness and teach you about the power of living a holy life. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
Chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. That means fire came, like on that mountain out there. Now the fire came on the men. It was on the mountain, now it's on the men, because the blood cleansed the men so the men could have the fire. In the Old Testament, the men had to stand away back from the fire. But in the New Testament, in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the blood washed them and the fire caught on the men. In the Old Testament, don't let a man nor a beast even come near this mountain, they'll die. That's the difference in not having the blood on you. But in the new covenant, the blood was spilled. And he went up and got the fire and put it right on the men and in the men. Wow! When you see a little bit of power displayed down at the church, don't go home and say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if it's the will of God or not. I don't know about that. I just don't know. I really don't know if they ought to laugh like that. I don't know. That's the Lord moving right along. If you just can't stand a little bitty laughing, what are you going to do when the fire falls? See, laughing, that's drunk folk. And this day, everybody got drunk there. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah, glory be to God. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. They'd come there for this feast. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And there lists countries here that are from Asia, from Europe, and from Africa. Three continents. And it ends with verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. See, they were out in the streets drunk. But Peter, one time the Lord said to me, I was up at Mac and Lynn's to tell you the real truth about the matter. You know Mac and Lynn. And we were all kind of new in these things. This was years ago, and they had a little church, and it met. I've known Mac and Lynn since Lynn had her little auto harp and a prayer group. Mac probably, turn off the recorder. Kill it. Am I free now to speak here? I'm telling you, the Lord's done wonderful things for some people I know. Don't any of you, buddy, tell, if you tell Mac that, I want to come and get you. And then Mac came in to be the pastor, and they had this church. And I came there to preach for them. And I'm telling you, the fire fell one night. The fire fell. And many of their people in their church were very prosperous Episcopalians who just got filled with the Spirit. And the fire fell. And I'm telling you, I just stood back and watched it fall. And people began leaping around that room One man in the back leaped so high, it's unbelievable how he leaped. And these businessmen in business suits were leaping, and they were so drunk, it was unbelievable. And we weren't so used to people getting drunk like that. And it just broken out, and they were giving cheers for Jesus. J-E! They were drunker than hoot owls. And I was really not so drunk because I was wondering, they're going to blame this all on me. And when they get up in the morning and their hangover is on, you know, they're going to blame this on me, and how am I going to get out of town, you know? And I was looking at them, watching them, and I felt like that they might hate themselves in the morning, how they were acting, these businessmen. Because I knew them. And that was not the way they acted. No, not at all. Some of them were very prosperous businessmen. Own companies known all over this United States of America. And there they are acting like this tonight. And people are seeing them. But you couldn't control it. I mean, it was gone. There was no way you could say, just a minute, now let's sing quietly. Forget it. And I was standing there kind of like this at the pulpit. Thinking about it. Mainly thinking about my neck. Will Mac ever have me back? And the Lord said to me, my idea of church and yours is not at all the same. He said, my idea of church is not for people. They were wearing three-piece suits then. My idea of church is not for these businessmen to dress up in their three-piece suits and sit stiff as a board on a pew for a couple of hours and leave stiff as a board. He said, that is not my idea of church. He said, the last time I had total control of the church and every member in it was on the day of Pentecost. That's when he had the 120. He had all control of them, total. As soon as they got 3,000 saved, he didn't have total control anymore. But he had total control on the day of Pentecost. And he said, what did I do when I had total control over the church? He said, I had them all out in the streets, drunk under the power of the Spirit. And he said, if I had total church control of the church in Minneapolis tonight, I might have them all drunk out in the streets under the power of the Spirit. And he said, the whole city could be saved overnight. So they had church, drunk. It ought not surprise you, we have one drunk service when they started out drunk in the first service. Bless the Lord here. But there's always mockers. Verse 13 said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the promise of the Spirit, in other words. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then he preaches on. And he gets down to verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. See, that tells us that Jesus went up to the Lord God and asked for the Holy Ghost, and the Lord God, the Father, gave it to him. And what did he do with it? Ooh. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. When Jesus shed forth the promise of the Spirit, the people were, fire was on top of them. They were drunk under the power. They were in the streets preaching and speaking the wonderful works of God in other tongues. The promise of the Spirit came. He redeemed them and washed them that they might receive the promise of the Spirit. And this was their condition in the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The purpose of redemption, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And this is what got this little Baptist girl in when I heard Kenneth Hagin preaching on it. I told somebody speaking in tongues was of the devil. And the next week they had me down to the Kenneth Hagin meeting. Kenneth Hagin, Papa and Mama Goodwin were spoon feeding us in the Word of God and teaching us about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And when he got to this verse, this is the one that got me. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. He's preaching out to the people in the streets. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. And I knew I was down in that afar off bunch. I was afar off from Israel. I wasn't a Jew. I was afar off in time. I was 2,000 years later. I was afar off in space. I was on the other side of the world in Oklahoma from Jerusalem. But blessed be God, he got me the promise of the Spirit through my faith. Woo! It's not another promise of the Spirit. It's not another Holy Ghost that acts another way. It's the Holy Ghost they got on that Pentecost day. You know, people snarl up their nose. Write books about it. If anybody dares display some power, they write a book. They write an article.
Thank you for listening to today's radio message. The message today was from Sister Billy's classic series entitled Holiness. In this 14-tape series, Billy Brim teaches on the power of living a holy life. As you listen, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more unto God, to become endued with power and become holy as he is holy. This set includes 14 for only $60. You can order this set by calling our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. For ministry and meeting information, call 417-336-4877 or write us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Don't forget to log on and hear the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast on the World Wide Web at www.billybrim.org. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom.